Your microphone, sir. Thank you. I get ready. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Rafa.
Yes,
sir. Yes. Peace. Assalamu alaikum to our radio listening audience and to our live audience here at the Homewood Hotel in Homewood, Illinois. We thank God always. We say Alhamdulillah. We thank God always for our presence here, for our health, and for our faith that brings us together. We are going to have a presentation today a little different from what you're used to, but I feel the urgency to attend this particular matter and attend it on live radio, so that we can make public our concern. And you know, we live in a plural society, and we have different nationalities here. This is a country of different nationalities, as it has been said by many organizations, religious organizations and other organizations. This is a plural society, a society of different people from different nations. Origins that go back to nations across the waters, and different colors, different races, different colors, and also different cultures or ethnicities or an ethnicities. So we are different, and we think this wasn't thought of when God gave guidance to mankind on this planet Earth. Yes, it was. In the story of Joseph, he's seen as one who had the character and the spiritual life and the character, the human character, to represent not one people but all people in their obedience to God. Joseph, or Yusuf, in our Quran, the name Joseph is Yusuf. And Joseph, or Yusuf, peace be on him, possessing the coat of many colors, is to say that he was suited as a human type to represent all colors of people and their cultures as well, that he would serve them well. So this, we have to see then Joseph, Yusuf, not only as a person or a prophet of God, but we have to see him also as a human type that's in the natural human composition of every person or all people, or all people. He's the excellence of moral character, the excellence of moral character. And if you're missing that, then you are not going to be successful on this planet Earth. All of us have to have that. All people, all religions. Joseph, the same figure we're talking about right now, is common to Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. He's in all of these religions. Like Christ Jesus, peace be on him and his mother, was mistreated. He was mistreated. Joseph was mistreated. Mistreated by his own people. Sold into slavery, and he is taken up into high places by the ruling order of his time. That was Egypt. Egypt took him up, the Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, took him up and brought him, placed him right by his side, and put him over the distribution of food, storehouse it's called in the Bible. Put him over the distribution of food, which has more than one meaning for Joseph and in that time. He put him, God, we know, willed that. God intended that. But there was a Pharaoh who heard about his particular qualities and power, and he wanted him to bring him up close to him to get the benefits of Yusuf's qualities and power, especially his perception, the way he saw things and the way he would analyze or interpret things. The king benefited, the ruler, who's called a Pharaoh, benefited from him quite a bit. So the Jews' history as a people who were ruled by another government or another people, the Romans, the Jews under Roman rule, they sought help from Egypt. And when they got to Egypt, they found the one that they, their brother, that member of their own people, that they had sold into slavery, was there in the kingdom and had the favor of the kingdom or the Pharaoh, and was over the storehouse, and they were coming for supplies, food supplies. So the one that they had rejected and sold into slavery and mistreated turned out to be the one that saved them in the time of want. And he didn't hold against them. He gave his brothers who had put him in slavery, he gave them, authorized the giving of them their supplies. He gave them their supplies so they would have supplies to take back to their people. It's a beautiful story. Beautiful story. Mind you now, a figure by the same name, Joseph, is the one that the mother of Christ Jesus, peace be upon him and his mother, was espoused to. Joseph. But instead of getting a child in marriage from Joseph, God himself performed the miracle, and she became pregnant with the child of the Holy Ghost. And she gave birth or delivered the child, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. It happened sometime in history. You say, does history repeat itself? Yes, and not always in a negative way. History repeats itself oft times in a positive way. Now, usually when you hear that expression from preachers or speakers, history repeats itself, it carries negative feelings or negative concerns, not positive concern. But history repeats itself also in a very positive way. And if a people were denied their independence as a people and subjected to another authority that made their life very difficult, and that's in history, we know that. That's the history of the Hebrews under the Roman Empire, as is given in the Bible. We understand that. Yes. So that's the history of a people. Now, if we look at our history, from Africa, across the water, in slave ships, to the plantation life, and from the plantation life till now, and our fortunate time that we're living right now in, that has Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, the promising Obama, Barack Obama, and many, many others, not only in government politics, but in business, in culture, and etc. When we look at how we have come into America as slaves, and now we are part of the government and responsible for government affairs, locally and nationally. When we look at this, we can see a very striking parallel that we too can read our history and our life in the scripture of Joseph and in the scripture of the Hebrews under the mistreatment of another government or another people. So we can read that in there. And we've been doing that. Nationalist leaders and also spiritual leaders of our people have been using the Bible to get us to see that the same God that delivered people who were in these circumstances long before your time, you should know He delivered a people who came to your situation long before you were even thought of as a people in America. So if you read that and read into that your own life history and see how God rescued them, how God was really overseeing their life all the time and putting them in a situation, yes, to suffer great difficulties. Who knows, maybe partly as a punishment on them before freeing them from punishment and rewarding the children of those who deserve the punishment. Yes, who knows? It could be the right way to look at it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we should not ignore that. I don't know of a single black nationalist leader who didn't use scripture to encourage us to have faith in God and keep going forward. That scripture, that particular scripture of people captured by another people or held in bondage to another people, and God delivered them eventually. Yes. I'm not suggesting that you be black Jews. Just like I wouldn't suggest that you be black Mormons. I don't see why you go to the people who treat you the worst. You should have intelligence, and the people will respect you more. Yes, display intelligence. Let intelligence be present in your decisions, not just feeling or desire to embrace somebody or go on a door that was closed to you. They open the door, say, no, just a minute. I'm not ready to go in. We got a lot of questions that we need answering before I even consider going in. And in fact, the greatest thing I've been denied is the freedom to have my own family and my own house and my own neighborhood and be responsible for it. So rather than join your church, I think my soul wants me to establish my own congregation. Well, you might not all like what I just said. You know, it's serious what's happening, or what has happened, I should say, to the spirit of our people. It's extremely serious. Slavery was a shared misery that pushed us together and caused us to lean on each other. And that continued because after being freed physically from slavery, we continued to be socially rejected, segregated, discriminated against. And that also worked to bond us tighter to one another, because we had no other friends, we had nobody else to bond with. The rest of the population rejected us. America. Immediately, I'm speaking of America. The rest of the population rejected us. There were friendships for white and blacks, even as slaves. There were whites who befriended slaves and even died for slaves. John Brown is one that's very well known in the history, a white man defending the rights of blacks to be free during slavery time, was killed for it. We know that, but these are isolations. I didn't feel it up north, and I wasn't down south. But even in Chicago, when I was a boy, we felt discrimination. We suffered it. It was painful. Occasionally, there was a victim mob violence, white mob violence. We experienced it in the north, just like they experienced it in the south, but not in the degree that it was experienced in the south. In the south, it happened more often, and it was worse, much worse. But we also experienced it in the north. So this bonded us together. The civil rights demonstrations. I'm coming forward quickly because we don't have too much time to address you today, and I want to cover what I have prepared here, what we have to give you that I have prepared. Yes. So during the civil rights demonstrations, there was more mistreatment of our kind. Government was coming to our rescue, but we suffered a lot, lost lives, and etc. And others, Jews and other whites that were supporting us, they risked their lives too, and some of them were killed too, lost their lives too with us. Very bad time, very bad time. But that time too had the effect of bringing us together, causing us to cling to one another. The 70s came, Black Power came in, the idea went from the freedom struggle to Black Power and Green Power. Money, getting money. That corrupted the up to that time innocent spirit and soul of our people. Wanting Black Power and wanting money corrupted that original spirit. The original spirit wasn't for Black Power, it wasn't for money, it was for human excellence. And nothing was taken from us by plantation slavery and the way we were identified and perceived in the eyes of America, America's white folks. Nothing was taken from us more serious or more precious than our freedom to identify and group together for human excellence and community human excellence. Nothing else. Nothing was taken from us more serious than that. So this addresses about Black America, this spirit that changed from being a spirit that was positive and healthy to being a spirit that was not based in human excellence, but based in greed. Greed for power and greed for money. That's how we lost it. That's how we lost our spirit. That God favored. Yes? God favored us as long as we had that spirit. So we lost the spirit that God favored. So I have decided to not work so hard to get people to come to their senses. I've decided to work on something else. From the Islamic standpoint, an Islamic viewpoint, from our perception of what God wants for human beings. And for our perception, I mean from the Muslim perception of what God wants for human beings. I always worked from that standpoint and viewpoint. I always worked from it. But I didn't make it obvious before that I am working with number one interest in the Islamic heritage. The Islamic heritage and heredity are hereditary factors. Islamic Africa has survived colonialism or colonial occupation, communism, and tribalism. Pepsi-Cola recognized the need in African Americans for identifying with the cultural and academic achievements by Islamic rule on the mother continent. Put big, beautiful pictures of Muslim rulers and their progress, their kingdoms, to show that this was once a raw achievement for Black people. Pepsi-Cola. I think every year it does that. Every year, during Black History Month, Pepsi-Cola pays tribute to our great African-American Islamic past. I always did like Pepsi-Cola, but I liked it even more after I saw them doing that. This live radio address today addresses Islamic heritage and hereditary factors associated with the growth of Islam in Black America today. The late Christian theologian, Dr. C. Eric Lincoln, explained this growth in Black America as genetic memory. Genetic memory. Modern-day historian J.A. Rogers authored several books on the cultural achievements of Black people before plantation slavery. Slavery in America ended this connection with the religion of Islam. Plantation slavery ended that connection with the religion Islam. However, researchers identified some traces of an Islamic past in language expressions and traditional life of Africans brought to the New World. A bird builds a nest and hatches her eggs. The nest and the way the mother bird cares for her young does not differ from generation to generation. Science explained this as a genetic pattern. Humans are different. Behavioral patterns have to be observed by their children from infancy. It has been documented that children lost among animals may survive. The influence of an animal environment, however, will shape their behavior. These children will move about like animals and imitate animal sounds. This has been documented. For humans, traditional life then must be learned or passed from parent to children. My office for my religious and community service will be working to contribute to this Islamic heritage in Black America. Most important for this particular responsibility is the building of identity. A Greek philosopher and our most outstanding leaders in America of color have said, "Know thyself." Quote, "Know thyself." The teacher of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Professor Farrar, instructed his student to teach the black man in America the knowledge of self. When a researcher becomes acquainted with the language of Mr. Farrar, as the savior, called also savior of black man in America, it will be observed that heavy emphasis is put on the need to identify as black people. When the question is asked, however, "What is my own self?" end quote, the official answer given is, quote, "My own self is a righteous Muslim." The wisdom to connect up with what has already been contributing to mental freedom generation after generation since slavery, a very particular socio-religious preacher. I call him a socio-religious preacher because he was. Father Divine introduced a purported picture of Jesus Christ, peace be on Christ Jesus, and that picture served the members of his congregation, to bring them to more comfortably identify with Jesus Christ. This strategy for strengthening a sense of identity in blacks was continued by the mystical teacher of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, again, Professor Farrar. Father Divine presented a picture of Christ Jesus that he claimed was valid, and it was a picture of a black person. Some several years before Professor Farrar's appearance in Detroit's Black Bottom, that's what they call it, a slum there, Black Bottom, an African American by the name of Nwodu Ali worked as a Muslim leader to connect African Americans to their Islamic heritage. The Moorish American Science Temple is called. With all their good work, the identity burden remains on the soul of Black America. In fact, the burden is heavier now than it ever was. The burden on our soul to have come up with or realized a comfortable sense of identity. The way back to a comfortable sense of identity is different for African Americans. The reason being, we are the only population cut off from our past traditional life. To get back, African Americans have to build upon the African American sense of being human. The African American spirit in the slave was not a black spirit. It was not an African spirit. It was a human spirit. The slaves did not identify as Africans until after the Civil War and after we were freed, or after the Emancipation Proclamation. This is not to say there were not attempts to connect with Africa. Such awareness in the slave population never became an issue until recent times. That is, after emancipation and also after the civil rights struggle. It's only in recent time that we became Afrocentric. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad scared our people away from him, calling them black. And it took them a long time before they embraced black. Long time. You could have a physical fight with your friend if he called you black. I'm old enough to remember those days. Yes? If you really wanted to get one of us really, peeved. Thank you, Allah, for cleaning up my mouth. I remember the time when I would say the word, buddy, and I would justify it. I'd say, look, it's good shock effect. Thank Allah that time is gone. That time is gone. But we're still lost people. We are lost people. If your spirit is lost, the people is lost. The spirit is the life of the people. You lose your spirit, you're lost.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708-798-6750 or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.